This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
3 men are found guilty of murder in the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery. Plus, fewer jobless claims and more consumer spending. What that means for the economy heading into the busy holiday shopping season.
If consumers power through inflation and lingering COVID concerns, that'll drive a really strong recovery next year. But if they're willing to maybe spend for the holidays and then are going to pull back as they see prices rise, that could suggest that we're going to head into a period of slower growth.
And why Macy's is getting into digital collectibles. It's Wednesday, November 24th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. A Georgia jury found 3 men guilty of murder in the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery, a black man they confronted as he was running in their neighborhood in early 2020. Travis McMichael was found guilty on all counts, including 1 count of malice murder and 4 counts of felony murder. His father, Gregory McMichael, and a third man, William Roddy Bryan, were also convicted on several counts of felony murder. Our reporter, Cameron McWhorter, reports from outside the courthouse.
The jury that ended up sitting for this case was composed of 11 white people and 1 black person, which caused lots of concern and consternation on the part of the Arbery family and on the part of the prosecution. But at the end of the day, that jury convicted all the men of murder, various counts of murder, and these 3 white men are going to possibly be spending the rest of their lives in prison.
Hundreds of people were gathered outside the courthouse for the verdict, which the jury delivered after 2 half days of deliberation. Here's Cameron again.
There are a lot of people who were supporting the Arbery family throughout the trial, who came down in shifts to stand in front of the courthouse. And they are now all here. People are coming, showing up, cheering, waving flags.
Sentencing dates have not yet been set. An attorney for Travis McMichael said the defendants plan to appeal the verdict. We report exclusively that top oil producers Saudi Arabia and Russia are considering pausing their efforts to release more oil onto the market now that the U.S. and 5 other countries have agreed to tap their own oil reserves to ease price pressures. That's according to people familiar with the discussions. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and a group of Russia-led producers, known together as OPEC Plus, have agreed to boost output by 400,000 barrels a day each month through next year until it reaches its pre-pandemic level. The group is meeting monthly to review the plan and will convene again next week to reassess it. The head of the EU's public health agency is recommending a quick rollout of COVID-19 boosters amid rising case numbers, hospitalizations, and deaths. The European Center for Disease Prevention and Control says boosters should be offered to everyone over 18, with priority given to those 40 and older. The agency cited evidence from Israel and the UK showing a significant increase in protection against infection and severe disease in all age groups after receiving a booster. The minutes from the Federal Reserve's November meeting show officials discussed concerns about persistent inflation and how soon they'd need to raise interest rates. At their meeting earlier this month, the Fed approved plans to shrink its monthly asset purchases and end the program by next June. Some officials signaled that inflation pressures were broadening and that the central bank might want to end the program sooner. The Fed's next meeting is December 14th and 15th. And some retail stores are keeping their doors closed this Thanksgiving. Last year, several big box stores decided to close for the holiday in order to limit crowds during the pandemic and push more sales online. Now, stores like Target and Walmart say they're closing again in appreciation for their workers, with Target planning to make the holiday closures permanent. It's a shift from years past, when many stores started offering on-site Black Friday deals a day early to compete with Amazon and other digital retailers. For more on the evolving relationship between e-commerce and brick-and-mortar stores, be sure to listen to What's News on Friday morning. And coming up after the break, we'll talk more about the latest economic data out before the holiday shopping season.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
A slew of economic data was released today ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. First, a milestone. New jobless claims fell to 199,000 last week. That's not only a pandemic low, but the lowest weekly level in 52 years, according to the Labor Department. And heading into the holiday shopping season, we're seeing more consumers opening up their wallets. Household spending rose 1.3% in October, and personal income was up 0.5%, according to the Commerce Department. That's despite higher prices on a range of goods, as well as supply constraints. Joining me now to break down the numbers and what they mean for the overall recovery is Wall Street Journal economics editor Eric Morath. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Eric, let's start with this significant drop in weekly jobless claims. What's behind that?
Well, a couple of things. One is it really just shows how strong the labor market has gotten. We've seen really throughout the fall a persistent decline in people seeking unemployment benefits, and now they're below where they were before the pandemic. And I think that shows that, you know, really we've gotten very close to that extremely strong pre-pandemic labor market. Now, it comes with a warning. There's a bit of a caveat. The timing of Thanksgiving makes this number a little bit of a seasonal oddity, but I think the broader trend is fewer people are being laid off. The labor market is really tight. Employers don't want to let workers go, and that's a really strong thing.
So we are in a really tight labor market. What does the latest data mean for hiring, and how might it play out during the busy holiday shopping season?
There's a lot of hiring going on this holiday season. It's a bit of an adjustment. We're certainly seeing more in the logistics space and the warehousing space, probably a little bit less around the mall where you might have traditionally seen hiring. But there's a big demand for workers. There continues to be things like bonuses and pay raises being offered to lure workers off the sidelines and into these holiday jobs. And it probably means, you know, you might need to expect, you know, the typical long waits or certainly lots of warnings about getting your orders in early because it'll be hard for those last minute deliveries to happen.
So speaking of shopping, consumers have been opening their wallets a lot lately. We got some more data today showing demand is still strong despite inflation and supply constraints that are making it tough to meet that demand. What can you tell us about the strength of the U.S. consumer right now?
Yeah, that looks pretty good. You know, what really stood out to me is that consumers increased their spending by 1.3%. So that was, you know, well higher than inflation last month. And so that's what really stands out. I mean, inflation is a huge concern for consumers, but if they're able to spend more money than just how prices are rising, that shows that they have ability and desire to spend, and that we know will propel the U.S. economy going forward.
How are factories handling that demand right now? Are we seeing any improvement in supply chain constraints that we've been reporting on?
Yeah, we're seeing some improvement, but it's slow, right? We're seeing a little bit of improvement at the ports, and then we got some new factory numbers today. And one thing that stood out was that shipments did increase for the second straight month. They're up about 13% from a year ago. So that's showing that, you know, factories are starting to meet the demand. Another good number in that report was that capital expenditures outside of airplanes, which is kind of like the building blocks of business, rose for another month. And so that sort of suggests businesses are optimistic about where the economy is heading. But we know that, you know, we're a global economy, so U.S. factories delivering more shipments doesn't necessarily mean every part or every piece of electronics you want for the holidays, you know, is arriving here. So constraints do remain.
All right, Eric, wrapping together the data points we're getting before the holiday, what picture does this paint overall for us about where we are in the recovery right now?
By and large, today's data, you know, is pretty strong and shows that the recovery is continuing against this headwind of inflation. But another data point today, the U of M survey of consumers showed the worst consumer sentiment in a decade. So that kind of leaves a big open question, right? If consumers power through inflation and lingering COVID concerns, that'll drive a really strong recovery next year. But if they're willing to maybe spend for the holidays and then are going to pull back as they see prices rise, that could suggest that we're going to head into a period of slower growth. And that's not what economists want to see, as we're, you know, still just in the early days of this post-pandemic economic recovery.
Wall Street Journal economics editor Eric Morath. Eric, thanks so much for your time today.
Sure. Thank you.
finally, for the first time, Macy's, the department store known for selling clothes, luggage, and jewelry, is selling NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. The company is auctioning off 10 digital images of its iconic Thanksgiving Day parade balloons, including a floating firefighter from the 1940s and a gold Macy's star from the 70s. Macy's will also be giving away 9,500 NFTs for people who go on their website tomorrow morning. First come, first serve. Our New York reporter, Joseph Pisani, says there's a mission behind this.
The retailer said it's doing it because it's the 95th anniversary of the parade, and he wanted to do something different and bring the parade to a new generation. The NFTs that are being auctioned off are already getting a lot of bids. The cheapest one right now, the bid is at $5,000, and the most expensive one, the bid is at $8,600. The NFTs, even the ones that they're giving away for free, they're building into it technology so that anytime someone tries to sell those NFTs, a 10% donation will be given to Make-A-Wish Foundation forever.
And even if you aren't interested in the NFTs, you can still catch the parade tomorrow. It airs on NBC and streaming services starting at 9 a.m. in all time zones. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be off tomorrow observing the Thanksgiving holiday, but we'll be back on Friday morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, and happy Thanksgiving.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.